Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Hello, everyone, and nice to be with you here on Home and Family Finance once again on this kind of cold winter's day. You know, there are so many things that pass over my desk that are important that I think that I want to share with you. Our program, Home and Family Finance. It's about the home, it's about the family, and it's about the finances. And nothing can affect the finances that we have any more than a loss of life. When someone in the family dies for whatever reasons, it has a tremendous impact on your finances, on your home, and on the family life. And to that end, today's show will be very special to me because it gives me a chance to talk about something that I think we need to talk about more and more, and we're not doing enough of that. As you know, part of my audience here is the military. We have the good fortune, the honor, if you will, of being on the American Forces Network, meaning we are broadcast every week to 177 military operations around this world, land and sea. So much of my audience is the military, and that means that they are your mothers and fathers, your children, your sons and daughters. So it's not they and them, it's us together. One of the things that impacts me so much is the attention step that a commercial here in the Washington area is running to try to get money for a particular home. It's a good cause. And what they say, and this is 22 servicemen or women, 22 veterans or active duty personnel will not be alive at the end of today. They will kill themselves. They will commit suicide. Now, let me repeat that number to you. 22 Americans every day kill themselves. Some are active duty. Some are former military. But all Americans, all of our sons and daughters, die every day. So at the conclusion of today, 22 of the people listening to me won't be here. 22 of your sons and daughters, your husbands, your whoever they are, wherever they are, they won't be here because they will opt to commit suicide, to kill themselves rather than to deal with the pressures that they feel. How is that possible? If you do the numbers out, folks, we're talking about more than 9,000 people will be dead at the end of the year for whatever the reasons are. I want to know what those reasons are. I want to know what we can do. I want to know what you can do to somehow have an impact on those kinds of numbers. They're scary. And so today's show is going to be dedicated to exactly that, talking about that. If I can get you to start talking about it and to think about it, you'll think about things and you'll, if at the very least, you'll know some of the signs that suggest that someone in your family, someone that you know, some loved one, may be close to doing something that they will, for the rest, well, their life will end, and they will, we think they will be sorry for, we certainly will be sorry for them. Did we do everything that we could do? One of my guests today is a coordinator for the Maryland Veterans Administration. Nicole Jones will join us. She is the coordinator, and she will be here, and she has the facts and figures, and she will tell us some things that that we need to know. The other person that I invited in to join me, and he's been here before, is my son, my youngest son, 23 years old, Paul Hunter Jackson Barry. He's known as Babe Barry. And if you think about it, you know why I've invited him to join us. He is of that age, 23. He can go into the military. He may not. He has friends who are there who talk to him. What does he think about this, and what should we do? What does he believe is the right answer, or is there an answer? I'm not going to sit here and suggest to you that I know what the cure or what the answer is to 22 people killing themselves today. I only know that it's going to happen, and I want to, at the conclusion of this day, feel like I have done everything that I could do. I've said everything that I could say to be helpful. And just so that you understand, I'm going to talk about some things I've never shared with anybody. I'm a Vietnam veteran. And today we have a very fancy name for it. We call it stress disorder, whatever the thing is, whatever we call it. But they didn't call it there then. PTSD, I think. That's what you know it as. In my diet, it wasn't called that. It was just called it was conversion reaction. It was called anything but. We didn't. But I'm one of those who suffered with this. And I've never told my family, I've never told anyone that. So this is personal to me. I have a right to say to you, because I've been there, I've seen things and done things that I don't even want to think about. I've been required to do those things. And I understand how difficult it is to overcome what you may have experienced. But what I can tell you is, no matter how badly it may have been for you, death and suicide is not the answer, okay? So let's talk to each other and see if you're someone out there contemplating that today. And I know that 22 of you will, despite what I say today, will commit suicide. When we come back, I'll introduce Nicole Jones to you. I'll introduce my son. And we'll have this discussion wide open. Anything goes. You're listening to Home and Family Finance here on the Radio America Network. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And I hope I've got your attention here. I hope you're interested in this topic. I hope if you weren't, you're saying, wait a minute, are you saying that 22 Americans, 22 men and women, 22 either former or current military people are going to die today? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying to you. Exactly. And not by anybody from Afghanistan or ISIS. They're going to kill themselves. And another way to say this, every 80 minutes, one veteran dies by suicide in America. Every 80 minutes. Okay? This is nothing new to Nicole Jones. She is a coordinator for the Veterans Administration Prevention, a Lifeline Crisis Call Center, in this case the Maryland segment of that. And every day she deals with these numbers. And she has numbers that are off the charts here. A recent report, some 59 pages, compiles all of this. Nicole, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. The topic is not pleasurable, but I think the fact that we can talk about it is pleasing to you.
Yeah, because the big issue is awareness. You know, you talked about veteran suicides, and yes, 22 veterans per day is the most recent statistic from our national VA administration. But the other part I wanted to emphasize is mm-hmm. that suicide is a national crisis in the general population as well. As many as 40,000 people die each year as a result of suicide. And our veterans are more at risk, which is alarming to us at the VA. You know, our mission is to really make sure that our veterans know what resources are available and that things can get better.
Right. I want you to talk about the resources, but right now I'd like you to identify the person we're talking about, Nicole.
Okay.
Who is that person? Male, female, young, old, black, white? Who is the most likely candidate right now who tonight won't be alive?
Well, you know, there are lots of factors. But, you know, to say that, you know, women are more at risk or men are more at risk is a falsehood. The truth of the matter is it's equal opportunity. Unfortunately, it can be our elderly veterans. It can be our youngest veterans who are just returning. It can be some of our veterans who served, you know, years ago and now are dealing with some housing and employment issues or health issues. So when we talk about ages, yes, it can affect anyone. Mm-hmm. The trends show that, you know, it's usually, as with the general population, some of the trends indicate that it's white males in about the age group of their 60s are more at risk. And that's, you know, the same in the general population. But every life counts.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that every family member knows so that if their loved one is not in that population, that they don't miss the signs and symptoms that, you know, need intervention so that they can keep their loved one alive. So,
and I understand it. I fully, you're absolutely right. We are talking for a variety of reasons about a specific group, but suicide is something that anybody in our community can find themselves involved in. Or may someone may elect or think that that's the way out. So it's not just the military. I think that's your point, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that because our military, their experience is so unique that I think it does, it somehow affects that our veterans are more exposed to this vulnerability. But some of the risk factors include a history of mental health. You know, so if someone has depression, mm-hmm. they're more likely to think about suicide and have suicidal behavior. Substance abuse issues, family history of suicide can be a risk factor. If that individual even had suicidal thoughts or behaviors in the past, it makes them more likely to have those thoughts in the future. Exposure to PTSD, as you mentioned, whether it be childhood PTSD from physical abuse or sexual abuse, which can be triggered and exacerbated in the military when they have other traumas. But even exposure to combat is a huge risk factor. Traumatic brain injury, which is something unique to our veterans as well. The IED roadside bombs, you know, a lot of our veterans come back with really devastating traumatic brain injuries, some of which they have to learn how to walk and talk all over again. And some, and it just makes them impulsive and unable to focus and deal with stressors. And that can be a risk for suicide as well.
While only 1% of Americans have served in the military, former service members account for 20% of all suicides in the United States. The number to call, 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. My guest, Nicole Jones. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those programs that are available to you, and Babe Berry will bring his younger view to this issue to the table. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and I thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council, and we thank them for their continued support of this program, as well as CUNA, the Credit Union National Association, both dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. Our topic today, of course, is suicide. Suicide in the military. 22 members of the military will commit suicide by the end of this day. One every 80 minutes will commit suicide. These are startling and staggering numbers to me. As an ex, as a former, I'm never an ex, but a former Vietnam veteran, someone whose heart and soul is with the military, thanked for many things, my training and everything else, I care about these 22 people that won't be here tomorrow. And I say to you that you should care as well, okay? You know, one of the agencies that I just mentioned, the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions, believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage your military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. So check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. And go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And I also want you to think about going to the center that's designed to save your life or to help you reconsider if you are, in fact, thinking that the way out is to take your life. And the person with us today is Nicole Jones. She is a coordinator for the Maryland Veterans Administration's Prevention Lifeline Crisis Call Center. I gave you the number, 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. Simply put, there's a better way. There's a better way than to end everything. It may seem like the only out, but I assure you it is not. And Nicole, you know that very well, don't you?
Yes. We're in the business of providing hope. And I think that's what these individuals really need to hear is some hope. Our Veterans Crisis Line, you know, is there for our veterans 24 hours, 7 days a week, and providing crisis intervention as well as just talk therapy. If someone's in a bad space and just needs someone to talk to, our Veterans Crisis Line is here for them.
You don't know what you're talking about, Nicole. How can you help me? You haven't been where I've been. You don't know what I'm going through. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows what it feels like. How can you help me?
Well, you know, our Veterans Crisis Line is staffed with providers who are licensed and independent clinicians who know all about what it is to be in the military, what things our veterans go through. If you go to a private, and not saying that our veterans don't have, they have the right to go wherever they want for their care, but we want them to know that our veteran facilities have what they need. A lot of the veterans enjoy getting their care at the VA because it's with other veterans who've had similar experiences, but also our VA providers know about veteran-specific issues. We know about deployments and the impact it can have on families. We know about the stress of PTSD and how it can be difficult to cope. And so it is a benefit to come to the VA. And our Veteran Crisis Line is like the conduit. It actually can pull our veterans in. We have a motto: it takes the strength of a warrior to seek help. And that's just, we want our veterans to know that in their training, they have been taught to be strong, to be, you know, independent, to protect each other, and not, you know, that doesn't give room for them to ask for help. And so we really wanted them to know that, look, you served us. Now let us serve you, because we want to help, and we know that what you're going through is very difficult. So we have the crisis line where people can call 24 hours a day. But what we found is that some of our younger veterans, they're more computer savvy. They don't want to talk to someone. Maybe they want to text. So it has text capability. It has chat capability. So it really is helpful for those veterans to have resources that are more comfortable for them. And what we do is we ask, you know, are you in imminent danger? If they are, we can intervene by getting them to a local hospital. If they're not, but they want to get connected and they need to speak with a provider, we make sure that they get enhanced care. We give them access.
This is beautiful, folks. I hope you're hearing this. And you talk about the youth and young folks, what they want. When we come back, I'll introduce you to Babe Berry, my son, 23 years old, and he has some thoughts on this as well. And, you know, if we all get together and do the same thing, we can make a difference. I want one of you to stay alive, at least one of you, not to kill yourself tonight. We'll be right back with more.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And we want you to feel safe and secure, especially on this particular topic that we are dealing with, suicides among the military. And I said, you don't have to be in the military to care about what we're talking about, because we're talking about your sons and your daughters, your family members, whether you're civilian or not. And we have to save these lives. 9,000 military vets will die this year. 9,000. 22 a day taking their lives for a variety of reasons. And my guest, Nicole Jones, who is a coordinator with the Veterans Administration, the Prevention Lifeline Crisis Call Center, will give you that number again. But she mentioned how young people sometimes want to enter this fray, if you will, make contact differently. They like different techniques. And no one knows that any more than my son, Babe Berry, who is here in the studio, because I can't get him to make a telephone call, but we can text all day long. I think that's the new normal for you, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, you know, it's easier for us, and we found ways with text slang to text more quickly and efficiently. So yeah. Communication is supposedly evolving. We'll see.
How would you just talk to me for a minute about when I approached you on this subject, what was your feeling? What did you think? Did you know anything about this?
You know, I had no idea when you presented me with the numbers. I was really surprised because I have friends who are serving who are my age, and I think even some of them didn't know how serious it is. It's an important national issue that's really deserving of our attention, and I'm glad that I can join the dialogue.
Yeah, the reason I thought it was good is that you're 23. You're a prime suspect, if you will, for entering the military. You have some choices to make, you know, and those choices are I can or I may not, I may do, but you should know about this, and I think it's just stunning to think that after the sun goes down, 22 people that could have heard us today won't hear us ever again because they've decided that this is the way to end it. I know you talked to some of your friends. What did they say?
I did. I talked to some younger vets, as Nicole was saying earlier. You know, younger vets both have different experiences than some older who saw other combat tours.
Right,
and
right.
Some current serving friends who are experiencing stress too. And I think they're in danger as well. As you said, it's not just veterans but active service members who are committing suicide right. in large numbers too. And one thing that some of my friends said is that a lot of these service members are coming into the service when they're 18, 19 and are maturing and growing up. And they're doing a lot of growing up very quickly, but they're not growing up in a way that other kids my age are. They're not learning how to organize their lives outside of the military. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They have a lot of structure in the military. They have a chain of command. They have very regimented days. And when they leave the service – you know, not only are they dealing with the stresses that they've undergone, but they also are thrown into a world where they don't necessarily know how to organize their lives in a way that
readjust,
they have. They do.
Yeah.
They have to readjust societally and in terms of just organizing themselves. And I think that that's a huge stressor.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine it would be. If you then toss into that those who have been in combat, who may be a little bit older than your friends who are now back out, they've got to go through the process of what they saw, what they did. And I understand that. I mean, I'll never forget the images of my Vietnam days, months. It was overwhelming. But you've got to make those adjustments. And I think we can see how that can be very difficult.
Yeah, I can. I mean, it's something that's kind of being portrayed in pop culture right now as a way of understanding our veterans in the Crisis Hotline, Veterans Press One documentary on HBO, an American Sniper. You'll see repeatedly that there's moments when these veterans may be watching television or trying to sleep and they won't be able to shake an image. They won't be able to get over a particular moment. And it leads to just, you know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
How do you get over it? And nobody else can see it or hear it or understand what exactly you saw.
And Nicole, they don't necessarily, unless you call them out, they're not going to call you out to say, help me, will they?
Well, yeah, that's what we're trying to get out to them, is that it's okay to ask for help, because you're right. That's a difficult thing for anyone to ask for help. But we, our veterans, the training is for them to be the strongest and to protect everyone else. And so it is hard for them to reach out. But we're trying to get that message out that it's okay, that these are some of the things that will happen to you, and they're normal, you know, considering your experience, but we can help you.
Yeah, yeah. And all you have to do is, well, you can't assume, to my audience, you can't assume that somebody is necessarily going to know what you're going through. So you have to help out a little bit and be willing to reach out and say, look, I'm stressed. I'm so stressed, I think I'm going to take my life. But before you do that, call Nicole and the folks out there that are willing to help you. They're sitting there waiting and saying, okay. Nicole, what are some of the signs that I should or we should look for that says we got a military member or anybody in trouble? They're in trouble. What are those signs?
Yeah. You know, signs they vary. I mean, someone talking about death or writing about death, someone who is asking about guns or stockpiling medications, who's become really withdrawn or isolated, and that's not normally their personality, mm-hmm. Giving away possessions or saying goodbye. You know, sometimes family members will call because they're concerned. And the thing about our hotline, which is wonderful, is it doesn't just accept calls from veterans. If family members want to call about a loved one, they can also call. They can get information from the Veteran Crisis Line to help their loved one, to get their loved one in engaged in some treatment, even if that loved one is not aware that they need it yet. And so that we appreciate that the Veterans Crisis Line is also giving family members who are on the front lines of this battle, because they see their loved one day in and day out, and they see that decline, they can actually know what to do as well if they call. So they need to understand that this line is for them as well, to save our veteran loved ones.
When I came back from Vietnam, I was confronted with the feeling that that we had somehow lost the war. I didn't lose the war. I followed my instructions. I followed my orders. And unfortunately, we weren't always over there to win. That meant I had to deal with that stress as well, but I had to deal with the stress before that. And when we come back, I'll tell you how I returned from Vietnam and why I can say to my brothers and sisters in the military that I'm one of you. I suffered through those stresses, and I survived. And if I hadn't, that young man you just heard from, Babe Barry, wouldn't be here. We'll be right back with more. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry.
Our topic is simple, complex, everything. It's about life and death. It's about someone out there deciding right now that this is the last day that I'm going to live, because I'm going to take my life because I can't deal with the stress. I don't want you to do that. I want you to deal with the stress, and I want you to know there are people out there who are willing to help you. For instance, Nicole Jones, who's on our line here, a coordinator for the Veterans Administration Prevention Lifeline Crisis, a call center. My son, Babe Barry, in studio here at 23, who's mulling over all of this and saying, yeah, I understand how pressures can get to you, but none of those pressures are worth taking your life. And if you think that they are, and I appreciate that you do, then call someone and just check yourself out. Verify that you're right, that you have a right to die today, because you're right about all the things that you feel. But just suppose that you're wrong. There's no coming back from suicide. You know, I came back from Vietnam, and I was I had what I guess you would call a crisis. I passed out. I was hospitalized. They sent me to a hospital in Cameron Bay, and then from Cameron Bay on to Tokyo, Japan. And I spent a few weeks there trying to reassess. I wanted to get back. All I wanted to do was get back to my unit in Tuiwa, South Vietnam. But every time I talk with somebody, I said, well, you know, you're stressed, Paul. And finally the decision was made, not by me, but by those people that know better, that I needed to be shipped home. And so they shipped me from Vietnam to Shepherd Air Force Base. And I was brought, because physically I looked okay, so it's a part of the psychiatric. You come back as a part of a psychiatric unit. And the first night that I returned from Vietnam, I was in a psych ward at a hospital. And I was like, I don't belong. This is not, you know, I'm okay. Hey, folks, I was suffering. And other people knew that. I suppose there were times when I thought about taking my life. I was embarrassed. How could this happen? So on and on. But you know what? I got through it. And today, years later, some 50 years later, I look across at my 23-year-old son, and I'm so pleased that I didn't do anything foolish. How dare me not allow this young man to have a life, and my daughter and my other son and my wife not have a husband, because I made what I think would be a selfish decision on your part. Now, I'm not talking about you as a crisis manager. I'm talking about you to you as one of you. I've been through the pressure. I know what it feels like. I know how difficult it is to get rid of images. I know how to deal with the things that I had to do when I was over there. I know what it was like to come back and not be accepted and be treated like I was part of the problem as opposed to being over there as the solution. That's why I was there. And I was willing to give up my life to do it. I was there. So I know what you're going through. I know where you are. But I'm telling you, don't do this. Call Nicole or someone like her and say, I think I want to die. What can you do for me? Nicole, what can you do for me?
Well, basically what we do, like I said, you know, initially when someone calls the Veterans Crisis Line, they are going to ask about imminent risk. We want to know if you're at home and you have a weapon. They want to know that because they want to make sure that we get some help to you ASAP. And the Veterans Crisis Line has done over 50,000 rescues. So they've actually gone to the home of a veteran at risk imminently who is called the Veterans Crisis Line and been able to get them into the hospital. So that's the main thing. We want to make sure that there is not imminent risk. But the other part of it is as you're talking with someone and you're telling them what you're going through, that veteran provider on the other line can connect you with your local VA. They will call, like say for instance someone from Maryland calls. They'll give me a call and say, this veteran called, these are his issues, and basically we call him up and then we say, this is what we can do. Locally, here's the resources that we have. And our main objective is to give access to care. We want veterans who had not been either not been involved in VA care or have not been connected in some time to have immediate access to the services that they need. And through the Veterans Crisis Line, we can give that.
Let me give that number while you're talking. 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-8255. Now,
I was going to say, in addition to the Veterans Crisis Line calling the telephone to get more information about resources available and use the chat and more information about text, there's a website as well. It's www.veteranscrisisline.net. And it's great resources for veterans mm-hmm. and their family members.
So you don't have to talk. You can just put in what you're feeling, what you're thinking, asking for the help you need. And you don't have to confront anybody.
You don't have to. If that's uncomfortable for our veterans, we want to make sure that they have some way to communicate where they're at, what they need. So they can do the text from their cell phone. They can do the chat from their computer. There is even a resource on that website where they can do a self-check. And it's basically an assessment online that they can do anonymously. They can put in answers to questions. And it really gives an idea to the provider who will be looking at it, what's going on in that veteran's life. And that veteran can then get anonymous feedback. Say, for instance, they talked about a lot of difficult things that they're going through and their risk is elevated. That provider might say, it will be important for you to see a provider and tell them where they can go to the nearest VA. And so we just want to, you know, do everything we can
right.
to, as you said, to just, you know, let one person know that hope is there.
We'll be right back. 1-800-273-8255. Family Finance on the Radio America Network. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Our topic today is about those 22 Americans, 22 veterans, some serving, some not, who will indeed make the decision that that they're going to take their life, that they're going to commit suicide, they're going to kill themselves, not by any other hand but their own. Now, let me say something I used to say to my young people that I worked with as a result of this. Look, give me a call. Let me talk to you and tell you how stupid you are about to be, what a dumb thing you're going to do. Let me just call me and let me tell you what I think about it. And then you have a right to do what you want to do. That calling me doesn't stop you from doing what you want to do, if that's what you want to do. But at least give me a chance to tell you how stupid that is, how wrong that is, how backward that is, how it doesn't, it ends a problem maybe for you, but it creates problems for those who love you all over the place. It creates problems for your friends. It creates problems for everybody that knows you. You're not solving anybody's problem, but selfishly trying to solve your own. So there's got to be a better way. So call Nicole. Nicole, you will listen and you will give advice. And as I said, then they can do what they want to do anyway, right?
Yeah, I guess working in this field, I've gotten to understand a lot of times our veterans feel like they're doing something good for their family. They feel as though they're a burden. Their condition is burdensome to their loved ones and friends. And so a lot of times people feel like, you know, the survivors feel like suicide was selfish. But in the mind of that person who's really struggling, they feel as though they're doing their family a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about suicide, is that that person is hurting so bad that they just think about themselves and ending the pain. And yes, I think it is true that they're hurting and they want to end the pain. But I think the issue is that they feel as though they're a burden to their family,
mm-hmm.
and they want to protect them. I've even heard a veteran say before that he would rather die and have his insurance money provide for
wow.
his family because
wow.
he's unable to provide. And so there's so much more that people don't understand about the phenomenon of suicidal thinking, that I think that's why the stigma is up. You know, people mm-hmm. think that it's a selfish thing, and the decision that that person makes is only for themselves. They really make it for the people that care about them. They feel like they're helping others by taking themselves out of the equation.
And just for the record, if you commit to suicide, the insurance companies generally won't pay. Isn't that true?
There are some stipulations related to suicide, yes.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. You talked yeah. about gun locks. I remember that we had that discussion, and I want you to get that out as we're about to close. So what?
Well, the major issue is that, you know, suicide, most suicides occur via guns. Actually, more suicides occur than homicides with the use of guns. And so our facility, and actually nationally the VA does this, they have gun lock programs. But I can only speak to what we've done here in Maryland. And what I do know is that we've given out over 900 gun locks, some 10 to one household. Because some of the rural parts of Maryland, a lot of people own guns. And we know that that's an increased risk. But we know that our numbers have actually decreased as a result of this action. And so we really want to get out there that if you have gun locks as a veteran, even just for the sake of yourself, your family, you know, children who accidental deaths occur, it's important to have safety with your weapons. And for our veterans, it's not an issue of ownership. You know, we want
right,
our veterans
right.
to know we're not saying that you shouldn't own it. And we're not saying
Understood.
Because you have mental health issues you shouldn't. That's your choice.
Right, right.
But we do want to make sure that they're safe.
And a step. It's a step that you have to go through if, in fact, you have the locks. And before I go, Paul, can we make any difference here? Do you think our discussion with young folks here, do you think they will hear what we're talking about?
I think they will. And I think it's something that is being talked about more and more. But when I talk to my friends who are active service members, they also didn't know the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite realize how serious of a situation it was. So I think the more we can talk about it, then, you know, maybe the Navy, the Army, they can start putting in place programs to help educate
more
people.
Stuff. Okay. All right. Nicole Jones, will you come back and talk with us again on this subject?
Absolutely.
I really am pleased to have you with us. And the hotline again, number 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-TALK. Talk to somebody before you do something that is irreversible. We'll be back next week, and in the future weeks, we'll talk about this again. And I'm going to continue to talk about it until we can hopefully make a positive difference. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Have a great day.